Curtis and Loretta, and When You're Smiling. And we're still making some efforts to get things as good as we can. I was just talking with Curtis and Loretta off the air a moment ago. It's the best laid plans we had made. We'd made our plans to do this, and we rehearsed it and we nursed it and did all of those things that are still finding there to be some things we didn't expect. Let's see if I've got you guys. Are you here?
Yep, I hear you.
Probably a good idea is for us to talk a bit, and we'll play some music today because yeah. I really want you to sound your very best. And let's just, we'll talk a little bit first and see how stable our connection is. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, by the way, and thank you to those of you who have made mention of, I thank you for your patience. We've actually had some tech tips phoned in, and it's all about something called a mix minus. We're not able to minus you out for some reason, but you had a tour planned for Pittsburgh, and it ended up your whole world in the Northeast pretty much ended up not happening, right?
That's right, except
Absolutely.
For you.
This is it. We made it to Pittsburgh at least.
Sort of, yeah.
This is the only time we've made it to your show without getting lost driving there.
Well, it's almost the same thing today. That's got to be a huge impact on musicians. I mean, folks have seen some words about this, you know, online. There have been concerts, you know, living room performances with tip jars and things. But it's not the same as having a human being in front of you as you listen and as you play. And I would imagine it's just a big hole in your life now to not be able to do this.
You know, we haven't had 3 days in a row off for 25 years. I mean, we do some kind of a show, whether it be a senior show or a folk festival, almost every day, you know. And so, yeah, it's strange for sure.
It is, and we do. We miss the audiences so badly. We're trying to learn how to live stream, and we're getting close. But in the meantime, we've made a couple videos and put those out for people to watch. But it's not the same sitting in our little music room at home singing to a computer.
Yeah, art is always the first thing to go and the last thing to come back.
Mm.
But the advantage that we have is after doing this for 40 years, playing this folk music, is that we really know how to survive on beans, you know?
Beans and rice.
We have a lot of experience with that.
We know how to live really cheaply, so that part is we're doing okay. And we got toilet paper, too.
Oh, my goodness. That's, you need like a mutual fund that invests in toilet paper, and I'm not sure what the other thing would
hand
be.
Hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Those are the biggies, yeah.
I don't understand the toilet paper shortages. I haven't been able to wrap my head.
People are just paranoid they'll run out, but, you know, it's like, in our house, we have hot and cold running water and soap.
Yeah,
and
everything.
Washcloths and towels, so, you know, we'll be okay even if we run out.
The thing that I happen to notice is webcams are completely out of stock.
Right.
And I needed a new one, and our technical or our director of operations here at SLB recommended a model. He had just bought it a couple weeks ago, and it was $40, and it now is selling for $200. It's like there's like a gray market where people are selling these things. If you want to get one right away, I decided I can wait.
Boy.
I mean, you know, who needs a webcam? Radio's better, right?
Radio's much better. We figured out how to filter the pictures that come along. The TV hasn't figured that out yet. And we almost have figured out how to present music. You sound very good now, but I think we'll continue to play some. I'd like people to hear you the way you should sound. And we have some great recordings. One of the songs I love that you do is I Had But 50 Cents.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
a fun one.
I'm curious how that song came to you.
Well, you know, that's an old folk song. And when I introduce it, I always ask people if they remember their first date. You know, and some people do, some people have blocked it out. And I say, well, this song reminds me of my first date. And I always tell them my second date was better. That was with Loretta here. And so, but actually, Bill Hinckley, one of our great, great local treasures, the late Bill Hinckley, just played that song and taught it to me. And I might have changed a few words and this and that, but it's an old folk song.
Well, and it's a song I actually knew as a child, which is one reason I like it.
You had uncles, huh?
Yeah. I had a record of that song when I was a kid, and I used to love to listen to it. So let's take a listen to it, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more.
My gal to the fancy ball, it was a social hop. We danced all night till the break of daylight, just waiting for the music to stop. We walked into a restaurant, it was the finest on the street. She said, I am not hungry, and this is what she eat. She had a dozen raw, a plate of slaw, a chicken and a roast, a pair of doves, applesauce, and a soft shell crab on toast. She had a big barbecue, crackers too, her appetite was immense. When she called for pie, I thought I would die, for I had but 50 cents. Well, you bet I was not hungry, folks, I did not care to eat, expecting at any moment to be kicked out in the street. Well, I thought if she ate this way every day, she could surely break the bank. She said, I am not thirsty, and this is what she drank. had a glass of ale, a gin cocktail, oh, it made me shake with fear. A ginger pop, rum on the top, and a two schooners of beer. She had a whiskey skin, a gin martini, you should have had more sense. When she called for more, I fell on the floor, for I had but my 50 cents. But I was not thirsty, folks, I did not care for drink, expecting at any moment to be escorted back to their sink. Well, she said she'd bring her friends around sometime, we'd all have fun. I showed that man my 50 cents, and this is what he'd done. He smashed my nose, tore my clothes, punched me on my jaw. Well, he grabbed me by my collar, and he threw me out his door. He grabbed me where my pants was loose, and he kicked me through his fence. Take my advice, don't try it twice if you have but 50 cents.
There's I Had But 50 Cents, Curtis and Loretta. I love hearing that song, and that was from another one of your live performances here at SLB. We're going to play a song that you were going to play this morning live, but we're going to play a recording of it from, it's the title song from When There's Good to Be Done. Who wrote this, and I'm curious to learn a little bit of the story behind it.
Well, I wrote this, and that whole album is all songs about people that went through big challenges in their lives. We got a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to do this project, and this woman I heard about on the 10 o'clock news. I was sitting here in Minneapolis and heard this woman was going to fly up from Jacksonville, Florida, to donate a kidney to a little Minnesota girl that she had been on dialysis since she was 7 weeks old. And, of course, this lady in Florida had never met her before, but she found her picture on Facebook and decided to get tested and turned out to be a perfect match.
And all the songs on this recording were from actual interviews that we did, or Loretta did, with the person. Wrote the song, brought it back, and it was a great process.
Yeah, so we get to meet this lady, Christy Harding. She's one of my heroes now. Just amazing.
Well, how great to be able to capture that act of generosity, and especially in the times we find ourselves in right now.
Yeah.
Empathy could use a cheerleader, although it's there, but it's not as prominent as we'd like to see it every day.
You just got to pay attention to what's going on around you. There's all kinds of opportunities to do good right now.
Yeah, and there are just amazing things going on, you know, like all the people sewing masks and just all kinds of stuff. And I know in our neighborhood, we've got a, I don't know if you have this Nextdoor website, it's all over the country, but in our neighborhood, there's all kinds of people checking on other people, seeing if they need any food or help with anything, walking their dogs if they, you know, afraid to go outside or shouldn't go outside because they're older or immunocompromised. Just a lot of help going on for people, which is the one little silver lining of the whole COVID-19.
Yeah, there's a few. But it's, it's a great opportunity to do good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of folks I will hear talk about how we need to get back to exactly, well, the implication is we need to get back to exactly the way things were before. I think there's some things happening right now that I hope stick around, like the ones you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I even think, you know, occasionally having a video call instead of driving and spending time that you don't need to spend to see somebody face to face might save a lot of energy over time. And
I think things will change somehow, and hopefully for the better. Yeah,
I sure hope so. Well, let's take a listen. The song is called When There's Good to Be Done. It's the title song from that album, which came out in 2015.
Minnesota girl caught her eye. Usually she'd stroll on by. Sick kids were too sad. Was it an angel that said don't pass? typo. Christy said yes, picked up the phone, and she said, when there's good to be done, you must do it. I can't wait for someone else to get to it. I knew it was God's plan, he'd see me through it. How could I say no when I could do it? She told her husband about the girl. If she was a Sarah, we would search the world. A battery of tests were begun up north for final ones. 6 months since that day, you're the perfect match, they called to say. For someone else to get to it. I knew it was God's plan, he'd see me through it. How could I say no when I could do it? For someone else to get to it. I knew it was God's plan, he'd see me through it. How could I say no when I could do it? When there's good to be done, we must do it. When there's good to be done, we must do it. When there's good to be done, we must do it.
Ten words to live by. When there's good to be done, we must do it. What a beautiful song. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a direct quote from...
Yeah, from Christy Harding. I interviewed her for the song, and I said, how do you decide to do something like that? I don't have the courage to donate a kidney. And I said, how did you decide to do it? And she said, well, when there's good to be done, you've got to do it. You don't wait for somebody else to get to it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, let me write that down. So that became the title and part of the chorus.
She had been on, gotten caught up in the national news cycle for, you know, a few days, and she was pretty... Loretta asked her if she could write the song, and she was kind of apprehensive. She thought, you know, I don't know if I want any, this is something I did from my heart, and I don't know if I really want any more, publicity. And she said, besides, if you write this song, you think somebody's going to just go out and, you know, donate an organ to somebody they don't know? And we said, yeah, probably not. But she said, well, maybe it'll remind people to check that box on their driver's license form.
The donor box.
Yeah.
So we promised her we would tell everyone to check that box.
Speaking of telling everybody, you're listening to Curtis and Loretta. I had promised you we were going to have this crystalline, beautiful feed that we tested, but we didn't like the way it sounded this morning, so we're talking by phone and playing music from some of their recordings. A special welcome to you if you tuned in today. to hear Curtis and Loretta. I know a lot of their Facebook fans, as well as mailing list fans, have done that. And you can learn about Curtis and Loretta, if you're not familiar with them, by going to curtisandloretta.com. There's recordings available there, and you can see some pictures. And follow them on Facebook, too, at Curtis and Loretta. There's lots of good there. How did you two meet?
Oh, how did we meet? We met on the beach in Santa Cruz, California, in 1977.
Yeah. Mm. Swimming in a beach lottery.
I'm from Minnesota originally. Curtis is from Texas. But, you know, we were in our early 20s, so we were both living in Santa Cruz for a while at that time. And I was playing my guitar on the beach, and this guy comes along and says, "Hey, I play guitar." I'm like, "Yeah, well, that's nice. Get away."
Get away, go. Social you distance yourself, yeah.
I persevered. We persevered. She actually had a gig at Chiavo's
Bar.
Santa Cruz, man. It was like
a variety show.
A variety show. So actually, we sang together on the beach.
That night.
As we got together and did Chiavo. So we actually did a gig on the first night we met.
Look at that.
Two songs, like Leonard Cohen songs and stuff. That was how many years ago?
It was 43 years ago.
43, yeah.
It was spring of 77. He went back, ran back to where he was living, got a mandolin, and came back and sat down on this log with me on the beach, and we played like 5 minutes after meeting each other, and it sounded pretty good. I think we played Suzanne, you know, that Leonard Cohen song.
Yeah.
I think that was the song we sang.
Took me several weeks to get rid of her boyfriend. Fortunately, he was going to Alaska to build a sailboat, and Loretta didn't want to go, so I just kind of circled in the air until he left.
That's how long did was it after that you guys are married, right?
Oh yeah.
It was a long time.
I hold the world's record, I'm sure, for like burnout proposals, you know. I had knee patches on all my pants. Burnout dinner candle, empty chocolate candy boxes everywhere.
Well, we
10 years I proposed.
Yeah. We played music together for 10 years, and then
3 or 4 times a week.
And then we got married 10 years later. In 1987, we got married.
And you essentially were wedded beforehand. But so we have two more songs that we're going to play. One that actually is about marriage, but we'll save that. The next one we're going to play is What Each One Needs. And can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, it's about this couple that we know. This is on that same album of people that went through big challenges in their lives and came out stronger for it. And they're still going through this challenge. Chuck and Sherry Lyda, these friends of ours who have a wonderful band called Singleton Street. And I was on Facebook one night and saw this post. The dad, Chuck, was on there saying, "Oh, it's 3 a.m. I've been up all night with the kids, and now I'm frying bacon for them." And the next night, Sherry was up all night. I talked to them. I said, "What's going on over at your house?" And we knew they had kids, but we didn't know that we found out then that the two oldest ones, the 10 and 12-year-old, are on the severe end of the autism spectrum. They don't speak at all. And the third one, the 5-year-old Mary, is neurotypical, not on the spectrum. And so I spent some time with them just to see how that worked. Curtis and I are married, but we've never had kids. We can't imagine taking care of any kids, but what they're going through is every day is just amazing. And so I spent time with them. We went to the zoo and McDonald's. No matter what happened, temper tantrums, meltdowns, is just intense stuff. And no matter what happened, they're endless patience and love. They just were so calm and loving. I wrote this song about them.
Yeah, it's a heroic love. And, you know, and Loretta approached them about writing this song, and they said, "Well, you can write it, but it can't be a sad song. It has to be a happy song."
Yeah, he said, "If it's a sad song, just forget it. We don't want it because we're a happy family."
Well, let's take a listen. It's called What Each One Needs.
She live in their world, but she dances on the spectrum where players are fair.
Texas tall, and Mom and Dad will all be souls. Up all night of tantrums for our sensory overload. They see what each one needs, they teach where each path leads. Their joy is plain to see when they see their kids happy. Twirls a string of shiny beads, climbs a fence at lightning speed. He taps his dad right on the chest, never speaks but can request. Dad lifts him on his shoulders high. They watch the world go by.
24/7 Texas toll, but Mom and Dad love these souls. Up all night, a tantrum flow, a sensory overload. They see what each one needs, they teach where each path leads. And joy is plain to see when they see the kids happy.
Little Mary with blue eyes, she's a neurotypical child. When Clara runs too far afield, she follows, speaks to her softly. Rowan dives under a couch and grabs Mary by the hand. They share this little secret space. Their smiles light up the place.
24/7 Texas tall, but Mom and Dad love these souls. Up all night of tantrums for a sensory overload.
They see what each one needs, they teach where each path leads. Their joy is plain to see when they see their kids happy.
24/7 Texas toll, but Mom and Dad love these souls. Up all night of tantrums flow or sensory overload. They see what each one needs, they teach where each path leads. Their joy is plain to see when they see their kids happy.
That's Curtis and Loretta, What Each One Needs. And that's that song has some nice instruments in it. What all was featured in that? I heard, was that a penny whistle at the end?
Yeah, you know, Chuck and Sherry, the song's about, played on it. Sherry is playing penny whistle, and Chuck is playing mandolin.
Yeah.
I'm playing guitar, Curtis is playing banjo.
And we really had fun doing that.
We had a bass player.
Write a song about somebody and have them come and play on it. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So these people called Amy and Adams just wrote. Do you know them? Listening and...
Oh, yeah.
They are good friends of ours.
Listening and loving our friends Curtis and Loretta write Amy and Adams, Mark and Amy. And it's they're from St. Paul. And
yeah, that's the name of their music group, Amy and Adam.
He's the one we've been helping us with our tech stuff we're learning this week.
Oh, he spent so much time trying to figure out, and tell us how to use the USB mixer so we can do live streams.
Oh, send him over here when when he's done.
He will.
We're just going to have a few moments. In fact, we're going to let a song close today's program. Forgive me as I just thank everybody in addition to you who was able to be with us today and to listen. And thank you, Curtis and Loretta, for working through everything this morning. I hope people will stop by your website to learn more, curtisandloretta.com. And the song we're about to hear has a really sweet story behind it and features Loretta's harp playing. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Well, you know, Loretta says it's a love song about her parents, but to me it's a song about scandalous marriage because, I mean, you know, we have our marriage scandal issues these days, and in the 60s it was interracial marriage, but in the 1940s when her parents got married, it was, brace yourselves, a Catholic married a Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that was a big deal back then.
Oh, it's a mixed marriage, they call it. Yeah.
Yes, and so besides the religion thing, my dad was just back from World War II. He was 38 years old. My mom was 21. and she wasn't from a farm, didn't have any money. He was from the big town of Stillwater, and he'd had a business before the war, so he had a little bit of money. So there were all these differences, and lots of people said, oh, this will never, ever work.
But it did, and, you know, and Loretta and I have been married for, like, 33 years, together for 43 years, and I was just wondering, you know, how people are, you know, married people now are used to, you know, going off to their jobs and coming home and just seeing each other every once in a while. So I think this is a great opportunity, this for all you married folks, yeah, the quarantine together. You think of it as like a long second honeymoon. You know?
Yeah, or tempering. I like to think about it as tempering.
A learning opportunity.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here. Next time in Pittsburgh, if not in Minnesota. And we'll close with the sweet song. And
thank you so
thanks,
much.
Thanks
thank
to you both.
And thank you to Annie and Kurt, whose house concert we would have been doing tonight if we were in Pittsburgh.
They've been so good to us for so many years.
Yeah, we've done their house
concert. We love you guys.
You
yeah,
bet.
So many times they've welcomed us into their house.
Thanks, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
This is called On the Day They Said I Do. Thanks for being with us this morning on the Saturday Light Brigade. We'll look for you next week. We'll meet you right here Saturday mornings.
He was raised right there in town, up the hill south of downtown. Nice brick house with plumbing too. His family had it built brand new. Catholic college businessman, in every way a gentleman. He crossed the sea in 44, courtesy of a world war. Swedish girl with quiet charm, she was born up on the farm. Light brown hair and eyes of blue, sang in the Lutheran choir too. She filled the lamps with kerosene, milked the cows, cooked and cleaned. She finished school in 44, she worked the fields and dreamed of more. Some said yes, some said no. She's too young, he's too old. Girl, different churches, different worlds, but on the day they said I do, they only heard I love you. Near Thanksgiving 45, he came home thankfully was alive. His five and dime close by the war, so he worked at Reed's drugstore. She'd moved to town in the spring. The hospital had an opening for room and board and a little more. She passed trays up on the floors. She went into Reed's one day. He waited on her. As she walked away down Main, she stole a glance back his way. He was standing in the door to see where she was headed for. She looked down and walked away, but they knew it was their first day. Some said yes, some said no. She's too young, he's too old. Boy and country girl, different churches, different worlds, but on the day they said I do, they only heard I love you. Thank you. ho, ho, ho. Bottle of perfume in hand, would she take him as a man? On a cold and wintry day, the sun shone on their wedding day. For 50 years too thick and thin, they shared one path till God called him. Some said yes, some said no. She's too young, he's too old. City boy and country girl, different churches, different worlds. But on the day they said I do, they only heard